everybody, the A&N After Show is back. Did you miss us? It's been like 3 weeks since we've had a proper show. It's
been so long.
It was enough that I was getting emails from like the platform where we host the podcast. I'm like, are you okay? Yeah, I'm just been out of the country and also jet lag was real bad.
Is that the state of the country where we have to rely on the podcast networks to do wellness checks because everyone else has abandoned us?
They're just like, is there anything I can help you with? You know, like, I'm like, yeah, everything's fine. It's just you're very on the very bottom of my list of people I contact when I'm out of the office. So, we're back. I was in Japan for like 10 days at Anime Japan. I've got a cool little video that's on our social media that I'm going to show you guys. It's kind of like a recap of what we got up to while we were there. We hosted the A&N trailer watch party in Japan. That's pinned on our YouTube if you want to go watch it. It was at the Trash Taste Pod After Dark. Unfortunately, there were some technical difficulties unlike what we have dealt with before, but I think otherwise it was a really fun show. So please go check it out. We had Gart / Gigic on there. It was a fun time. And also, I guess what we'll be getting into for most of this show, while you guys are here, is what anime from the spring 2024 season should you be watching? James.
How many shows?
We're at like 35 right now.
So not counting the sequels that I haven't been able to do, I think I'm on like 25.
Okay.
And I think there've been maybe like 4 or 5 sequels that I haven't been able to get to because I haven't seen the first season. So we're in the 30s. We're
definitely it is like 30s. A sequel heavy season too.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I've actually been a little of all things.
Yeah, we have Laid Back Camp season 3.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Irregular at Magic High School season 3. Mm-hmm. Reincarnated as a Slime season 3. Duke of Death and His Maid season 3, yeah. Sound Euphonium season 3.
Yeah.
A lot of it. I guess this would be Demon Slayer season 4.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Technically it's season 4, maybe like the 5th or I don't know. That it's split up kind of weird, but because I was trying to figure that out and I was like, okay, Mugen Train's an arc and then this is an arc and that's an arc. But yeah. And I'm trying to think if there are any more big sequels coming up. I don't think so, but I feel like a lot of the best stuff, at least the stuff that I've really liked, is new.
Lots of good new ones.
Yeah. Oh, Konosuba season 3.
Right.
In the chat.
Not bad, Konosuba.
So that is at least like 6 season 3s all in one season, which feels unique. It's not like we don't get a lot of sequels every season, but just specifically being season 3 is kind of
strange.
Yeah. So before we dive into all those, I'm going to show this video. We'll see what it looks like because it's shot in vertical, and I don't think I've tried to stream a vertical video on here before. And
pushing the boundaries of technology.
Yeah, let me also, can I full screen this? No.
Okay. Oh, we also have Mushoku Tensei 2, Part 2.
Yeah.
I feel like that's also a season 3. I'm just going to go ahead and say that.
Yeah, why not? Okay, let's see if I can make also share. Here we go. So this is the stuff that we got up to at Anime Japan. Unfortunately, because it's vertical, it doesn't appear that I can like make it full screen. So sorry about that, everybody. But here we go. We'll explain what these images are after.
Rest in peace, Toriyama-san.
Yeah.
I'm still kind of sure I can't believe that.
Yeah. Ooh. A lot of like life-size stuff there. A cameo for my husband.
Hey, hello.
Yeah.
Those guys.
It's gonna make me look cooler than I definitely was at the time. I got 5 shots, but I only got over one. I got one in there. Yeah. I did climb inside the mimic. True. So what you're seeing there is a variety of the booths at Anime Japan. This is the first time I've ever been to Anime Japan. It's one of the biggest conventions that they have. It's in Odaiba. That's where Tokyo Big Sight is. I had no idea that Tokyo Big Sight is in Odaiba, which is on the bay. And it was very cold and it was rainy the entire time, which was a little sad because I was hoping for like some nice spring weather. But Tokyo Big Sight, I mean, it was really cool walking up to it for the first time and seeing kind of the iconic like outside of it. As far as like a convention goes, and this is just like my take if anyone here is ever considering like making the trip out to Tokyo and I want to go to Anime Japan, it's very different than American conventions. First off, there's not a ton I feel like to keep you engaged for like all day unless you speak Japanese fluently, because the big draw is the stage shows, which they'll have voice actors and directors there talking about their new show, doing like little variety show type segments, like games. It's very kind of cutesy, very PR, very, you know, you're not going to get kind of big scandalous behind the scene reveals or whatever. It's highly curated. But there's no interpretation or anything. So if you don't speak Japanese, you probably won't have any idea what anyone is saying. And I mean, other than getting to see maybe your favorite voice actor or something, I mean, there aren't like autograph lines. You can't get autographs there. There aren't panels in a traditional sense other than the stage shows. There aren't like screenings or premieres as far as like stuff to go watch. It's the stage floor with the big booths with varying levels of interactivity and the stage shows. So like from my perspective as someone who isn't fluent in Japanese, I could do the stage floor in a couple hours and then there isn't really anything left to do.
Is there like a buyer's alley, like a merchant?
There's no artist alley. There are a couple of booths that do sell things. So you can get like, I got a Delicious in Dungeon t-shirt. It's a black t-shirt that has the logo on the small corner of the chest. And then it's got a picture of the hot pot on the back and all the like the ingredients nice. List in Japanese, kind of like a menu card, which was cool. We got a giant acrylic senshi. He's like this tall. I can grab him from here.
But I'm assuming it's all like official vendors, right? It's not like independent artists.
Yeah, no. There's no no artist alley, so no real independent artists. They're all like official company booths. So this is like a senshi.
If you turn it around, do we get like one of the famous senshi butt shots? Aww.
Unfortunately, no. He's
rude.
Rude. Boo. So you can get some stuff like that. It does still attract a huge number of people. So
I'm sure for the native Japanese speakers, just getting to go to the cast and crew like shows and all that stuff is gonna be a big deal.
Yeah. I mean, we walked past like a mini idol concert at one point that I think was related to Precure, which was kind of interesting to see in like its natural element, because I've never been to like a Japanese idol concert in Japan.
The glow sticks.
They had the glow sticks. They knew the songs. They were into it. They were there for it. So, there's definitely a draw that way. What I showed in the video earlier. You've probably seen some articles on Anime Japan, like the first the Shenlong model that you see there. That's a supposed model for the theme park that may or may not actually end up being built in Saudi Arabia. So
that's the story that I'm interested in following.
I'd like to see whether it comes to fruition. Because there have been other not anime related but building projects that are kind of fantastical that get greenlit out of Saudi Arabia.
They're the ones that are trying to build that like 10-mile long wall of apartments or whatever it is.
The one I was thinking of specifically.
Like the not the artificial islands, but like the
they do have some of those though, I think.
Is that Saudi Arabia?
I'd have to double check that it's not like Qatar or something like
that. Yeah, that's.
Yeah. But yeah, so I mean.
Very ambitious.
Yeah, very ambitious. I don't know if they have a track record for reaching completion. The skeptical part of me wonders if they're kind of like a money thing to like invest into.
Oh, I was thinking the same exact thing. Yes.
So, I mean, I'm sure Toei is not, I assume that they are expecting this to actually happen. And they have worked with Saudi Arabia in the past. So we'll just have to see. But that was the thing we opened with. And then, you know, there's a big Sandland booth that had the giant tank. For those who don't know, that's like a new series based on an Akira Toriyama manga. It actually is now, the episodes are now past that plot and into original territory. And you can watch that on Hulu. But yeah, they had a big version of the tank. The Kadokawa booth, like disclosure, we're a subsidiary type company of Kadokawa. That was nuts. That was probably the biggest booth. And I did hear from someone that it cost upwards of $5 million to make that.
And then you're making those buku bucks.
Yeah, which is just insane. What they did is they had a giant theater facade, like what would be the front, like a marquee theater with like lights and everything. Ooh. That it, so it looked like I can't remember if there was a false like ticket booth or not. You walk in. You know, you've got all the characters in like little matching outfits, and then you go through and you run through a whole bunch of properties. You saw the ReZero one where I opened a door and there's a big screen. There were two doors, and I think it was randomized which character you would get. So I got Amelia in that one, but there's one earlier where I got Beatrice, which was cute.
Isn't that coming back?
Yeah. We're getting a season of that this year.
You know what? I love ReZero. I'm behind on it. I definitely didn't catch up with the most recent season.
Yeah, same.
It's a good show.
Yeah. Yeah. Subaru's character, how it's evolved over time, I've really liked watching that. Because he starts out as a little shit. Really does. But
not too much of a shit.
But not too much of a shit. You can still root for him, even though he obviously has issues, right? Not like we're referring to a different character.
No, I'm just being, in general, you don't want your characters to be like too much of a shit, right?
Right.
Like, or if they are going to be a shit, you maybe want to like make sure that the narrative has really well incorporated and thematically appropriate obstacles to overcome, lessons to learn, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Something to like help them quit being,
or if it's Breaking Bad, you just like kill him with a giant machine gun at the right end. That's cool too, like that's fine.
It's funny you bring up Breaking Bad, because before I went to Japan, I watched just the final episode of Breaking Bad with my mom, having not what's in the middle of it. Like, I know the premise obviously, and it's seen a couple episodes, but my mom decided to rewatch all of it, and then she came back, she had been out of state, and she's like, do you want to watch the last episode of Breaking Bad with me? It's all I have left. I was like, okay.
It's a good last episode. It's a great.
He's got a machine gun in his trunk.
Yeah, he does. Spoiler alert for what? A 10-year-old series finale.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't worry. The machine gun in the trunk is not actually like what you're going to take away from the finale. I mean, it's honestly pretty wild, but there's other stuff that happens. So.
Yeah, there's a lot. We went back to anime. Yeah, so the booth, they had the ReZero doors. There was a really cute facade for Honey Lemon Soda, which is like a shoujo anime that's coming out in a couple seasons. A lot of stuff were like two seasons ahead for promo. And then there was a big Delicious in Dungeon booth that I got as well. Should I show you guys the video for that? Do you want to see the video of the Delicious in Dungeon walkthrough?
Yeah, we do.
Okay, it's going to be...
Can I just say, the amount of like... The amount that that show, and maybe it's just the algorithm making me like see things, but
yeah,
the amount of fan art and cosplay and more fan art and like that show, Netflix, I hope you're paying attention. This whole weekly release model, it's pretty good for word of mouth. That show is still Like every time I'm on Twitter,
every Thursday, I know what day it comes out and I'm there. Yeah. I'm there to watch it. I hope that they take note of that and continue with that model. And I'm especially excited for Anime Expo's Artist Alley this year, specifically for Delicious and Dungeon fan art. And it's been a while where it's been like, yeah, I need to go because there's a show and I think there's going to be a lot of really good art for it. But I've seen some amazing stuff on social media and I'm like, I hope you guys have a booth because I want to buy a print of that and hang it in my office. Mm-hmm. So, all right. This is the Delicious and Dungeon booth at Anime Japan was really cool in that it was a big walkthrough and they had recreated a lot of the food again. Some of them may have been recycled from the pop-up that they had in, I think it was Shibuya or Shinjuku. They had like a cafe, but there were some new ones.
Samples? Could you like eat them?
You could not eat them. It was play food, but it was one-to-one size. So
have they done like a pop-up Delicious and Dungeon? That would make all the money in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you could get real food at the one that they had in Shibuya. They also had like a basilisk in a cage, but it had like a, what do you call it? Like a cloth over the basket and it would shake randomly. Yeah, to like,
that's like the sickest theme park idea ever. Like just make that a permanent installation at like Universal Studios or something.
Yeah. And yeah.
Make infinite money. Oh, that looks so cool.
Yeah.
No chicken. Or sorry, basilisk.
Yeah.
That's odd. Oh, the jellies, the jelly insects.
Yeah,
that's great.
Watch out for the cracking in.
I'm such a sucker for like accurate real life prop versions of animated anything. I just think it's so great when artists can do that.
There's the dragon tail.
Do you think they knew how big of a hit this would be?
I don't know.
Like, I'm wondering, like, is this one of those things where they had, like, meticulously planned it out, they'd done the market research, or is it like, oh, wait, yeah, it turns out that a really good show is going to reach a really large audience, especially if you give people time to talk about it and share ideas and spread the word before
the
other 12 episodes of the show.
I hope so, yeah, because, I mean, they're building towards this larger plot now too, right? Like we had the first half and it was mostly going through the dungeon and eating the food. And then they finally get, I guess, spoiler guys, Fallon back. And the whole scene where Marcel was like doing the dark ancient magic to like resurrect her was so intense. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they introduce Sissel, who is a cool looking character, I think, in general. I'm kind of excited to find out more about Sissel as well. And I think we're going to get some more party members coming back, like the samurai and stuff too, maybe, when they go back.
I saw an excellent Twitter thread just, I think, yesterday, where someone was showing off the Japanese forms.
Yeah.
And how, you know, you don't think about it just because, or at least someone like me doesn't think about it because I'm not reading Japanese forms and I, you know, it doesn't cross my mind. But the fact that in Japan, right, the anime fans, there's just as much of like an English dub versus sub like
thing. Yeah, going I've on. Heard that. Yeah.
And like there's just all these posts of the Japanese fans like praising the English dub and like how impressed they are at the English dub.
Yeah.
A bunch of them are like, oh my God, Leo sounds so hot. Like he sounds so crazy and hot. I love it. and then it was honestly really heartwarming to see that, you know. Fans never change.
Yeah.
No matter
that's
where we
really
are.
Funny. Right? That's really funny. I'll have to go look that up because I'd love to know what they think of Sun Wan Cho's take on Senshi because I thought he's.
I remember the one comment they shared was that, oh, he actually sounds like a dwarf. That's awesome.
Oh, that's neat. Yeah. I had only seen the clip, Leos, when he gets poisoned, when the tentacles make his entire face swell and the voice actor has to like deliver lines through what would be a very, and it was really good. It was really good.
I think the one that kept going around was when he's, I can't remember who yells at him. One of the characters yells at him and he's just like, I didn't even do anything yet. Like in this super pathetic voice.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
excellent
man.
Dub. Excellent.
Yeah. Dub. Just really, really good show. mm-hmm. so far, I think. So as far as my other adventures in Japan, I did get some opportunities to go back to places that I like was at last year, but was there strictly on business and didn't have a lot of time. So we went to 3 Pokemon centers for one thing. They didn't have a Dragonair, guys, and I was really sad about that because that's my favorite Pokemon, and it was not at any.
Do they have anyone at? Are any of the clerks like dressed like Nurse Joy, or no?
No. they have like a shirt or something, but they're not dressed as characters. There's no Officer Jennies or anything, but so they didn't have Dragonair. I had to go with my second best, which is Snom.
I just can't.
He's so cute. Look how cute he is. He even has little, like, I don't know, maybe those are his little feet so that he can stick to things and keep moving. Is it because his face looks like a butt?
His face looks like a butt and a ball sack at the same time. And it's just like, again, it's like something on a Maiden Abyss.
Yeah. He's perfect. I would change nothing about him. My husband was very excited, so he got both the Trubbish, Garbodor. He was very excited to find Hitmonchan because he didn't think there would be a Hitmonchan. So he got, Hitmonchan, Garbodor, Trubbish. He already had a Vileplume that I had gotten him. He also already had a Trubbish, but it was a Ditto Trubbish that I had gotten him because I just
with the stupid Ditto face. Yeah,
I think the Ditto face makes everything better. We did get a, and then we went to Akihabara, and I introduced Matt to the multi-story figure shops where you just sort of like scrounge around, and we did find this guy.
Hey,
we got a Leos eating some hot pot. Oh, yeah. He sits up here on the shelf. I just got a bunch of Sailor Moon stuff, which should surprise no one. I did get a Nanami, and I got a great deal on him because all the other shops were selling him for 10,000 yen, but I got him for 3,500, which is like way less. I don't know why.
That's like what, 30 bucks?
Yeah, it's like 30 bucks. The yen is really weak right now, so if you go over there, you're not paying for shipping or anything, you know. You can eat real cheap too, man. We were eating on like less than 10 bucks a person for a meal, which you cannot do in the United States anywhere anymore.
So. I went to Taco freaking Bell.
Yeah.
To get a meal for myself and my wife. And I spent over $20.
Yep.
We live in a hell world, if Taco Bell for two costs over $20, that's the food for the poor people.
Yeah, that's for us.
That's what we ate when I was a kid, and we couldn't afford to go out to a nicer place.
Yeah,
Taco Bell, because you could feed a family of four for like $20. No longer.
I legitimately have a conspiracy that pizzas are smaller now. Like,
oh yeah.
I've got a family of four. One of them's a teenage boy. So, I mean, he's like, he inhales food like Kirby anyway. But just the fact that I feel like with my family, we used to get 2 medium pizzas. We were also a family of four. 2 medium pizzas from Godfather's, which is where we usually got them from. And I don't know. It just,
I remember Godfather's, man. Oh, I miss it. That's the supreme pizza. Oh, yes.
Yeah. And it just, I remember the pizzas being bigger, and I remember them going a lot further, I guess, for a lot less money. I mean, I know I'm starting to sound like my parents and like nickel candy, but what was that?
Is it one large extra large pizza or one extra large pizza from Pizza Hut with delivery is like $30 now?
Yeah.
How are we supposed to live, Joe Biden?
How are we supposed to live? No, what you're saying about Taco Bell, I mean, the fact that it's the same way in Colorado that it is in Washington State, like it's no different. It used to be that like going to Burgerville here was kind of a splurge because that's a little like a slightly upscale drive-through burger place that's local to the Pacific Northwest. And now it's just like if all four of us were to get a burger basket, you know, burger, fries, and a drink, we're talking like 50, between 50 $60. I'm like, I am driving through here.
Yeah.
You can't charge me this money.
I'm not even getting out of my car. This is literally highway robbery.
It is. It is. I bought an espresso machine last year or the year before because I was like, I'm not paying $6 for a medium latte. What is this? Used to be in a good world, all right? You got a medium latte for like $3.50.
Yeah.
$3.50.
And that was like a nice one. That was a good medium latte. That was a good latte.
Yeah.
There's a Paris Banh Mi right by my house, and they make the most delicious ass boba, but it's like $7.50 for a boba.
It is. Yeah. But there's a boba place near my house that has a happy hour. So if I go there after 3 o'clock, the boba is only $3. And so that's the only time I'll go. It's like, okay, yeah, I'll get a medium boba for $3. That's,
I'm imagining like pulling like one of our parents from their time and just like plopping them down and like listening to this conversation. And it would sound like moonspeak. Like a boba costs $7.
A boba.
What the hell is a boba? Why are you paying $7 for it?
One of the only plus sides of the boba thing is that they also let you pick how much ice you want in there. And I'm like, low ice. I need as much liquid.
I want how much you're charging me. I want it tepid.
I'll put it in the fridge when I get home and let it cool in there for a little bit. I don't need to pay your ice tax. Anyway, food in Japan is really cheap. And also, I think I've mentioned this before, but why don't we have heated vending machines / heated like fridges, only it's heated in our convenience store. You can just go in there and buy a warm canned latte. So that way when you walk out, you're drinking hot coffee.
I'm going to go ahead and default to the person that I blame for most of the ills in our society. And I'm going to say Reagan's fault. If it weren't for Reagan in some way, shape or form, we'd have those heated vending machines. We'd have like little Campbell's to go's that we could get if we were
just get a hot soup. You could just get a hot soup out of a machine. Absolutely.
We could get those little trucks that you see in Japan all the time that are like $800.
He's obsessed with those little trucks right now. Like part of the multi-story merchandise thing is that there's always a floor for like model trains / tiny matchbox cars, only it's not matchbox brand. Yeah. And those were kind of expensive. He was like, I can't justify buying a car that's this big of a little Japanese flatbed. Yeah. And so we didn't get one, but we pointed him out every time we saw him, which was often because there's not that much traffic. If you see traffic, it's probably some kind of delivery vehicle most of the time.
Well, it's funny. I've seen people like online, like get all up in arms about people wanting to import those little trucks. Like, do you have any idea how dangerous it would be? Like if you got hit by any car, you would instantly die. It's like, homie, we live in America. Most things kill us. Either real quick or real slow because we can't go to the doctor.
Yeah. So
if I'm going to die in a horrible car accident, instead of being trapped in like a Tesla for 8 hours while it burns me alive, I'd rather just get like Wile E. Coyote flattened by a Honda.
What happened? Didn't it sink into like a freaking lake? Some poor lady or whatever.
Just like just turn me into roadkill with your Hummer that gets 8 miles a gallon.
Yeah. Oh man. So yeah, the heated vending machines, we need those and I should just install a bidet. There's no reason why we all shouldn't enjoy a heated toilet seat in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree.
They've figured it out. Anyway. All right. Why don't we dive into this new season of anime? Now, James has watched more than I have. But I did try to get...
Some might say too much more.
Too much more, because I think...
the amount of anime.
I think I got all the good ones. I think I got...
I really think that... Because you said you didn't get to Jellyfish Can't Swim in the Night, right?
That is one I didn't get to.
Okay, so fair warning. That show starts with like a 2-minute shot just straight down a teenage girl's like nightshirt, which is not great.
Okay.
It's like real... It's Doga Kobo did the
yeah.
So what, they got one of their workhorses on that scene, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Hey, we just have this like POV shot of this girl talking to her sister, and he's like, "Oh, I'm gonna work my magic," and they didn't check. Yeah. But yeah. It is other than the unnecessary and obtrusive fan service in that one scene, and there's like one other where she's laying in the bed and it's like we could angle the camera a little bit higher, guys.
Yeah.
It's honestly super cute, really well animated, pretty gay, I'm sure. I'm gonna go ahead and say those two are destined to be together.
Okay.
And if they don't kiss at some point, it will be a betrayal. And this isn't just me like, you know, oh, they're cute anime girls. Obviously they got no like this.
I've heard the tension is there.
Oh, it's there.
Yeah. It's there. Yeah.
Whispering
between
in the
this girl that I'm showing on screen right now, the blonde, and then the character. Okay.
Yeah.
Which I think.
Yeah. And the really cool thing is like it has like a musical element, but it's not just like straight up like an idol anime or a music anime.
Uh-huh.
The whole thing is about them kind of forming an artistic collective.
Oh,
so the main character, whose name I can't remember at the moment. She used to be like an artist, like a mural painter, right?
Yeah.
And she ended up for personal reasons and drama, like falling out of that. And then homegirl with the highlights was Idol, who like punched out one of her co-band members and like got kicked out of the industry basically. And so now she's a musician, but now they're teaming up as like an artist collective where she does the art and she does the music. And then eventually they're going to meet, I guess, according to the synopsis, like a VTuber is going to get involved as well. So it's really cool. Out like
four girls in the end, right?
Yeah. And it's a really cool convergence of just a lot of different artistic like perspectives and sensibilities. It's not just four girls all doing the same dance number, right? So I think
that's really cool. Yeah. This one is definitely on my to check out. I just didn't boot up High Dive today. I booted up Hulu to watch the two Hulu shows that are on there and then started going through everything that Crunchyroll's got. But I think High Dive has this one, and they also have another Yuri show called Whisper Me a Love Song, which I want to check out when that one airs, I think in a few days, end of this week, I think Friday, 13th. Okay. Yeah. One of the ones that is on Hulu that I really liked was Go Go Loser Ranger, which I think people have talked about that one quite a lot.
Yes.
But great. I thought it was really good as far as like what it's setting up. The flash forward, flashback threw me off a little bit. It wasn't quite as clear. The timeline of the episode itself was a little.
Yeah, like, I didn't really pick up on what exactly. It wasn't until the end of the episode where I was like, oh, I see the.
How this is all playing out. But the general vibe of the show is that the Power Rangers, in this case they're called Dragon Keepers, I think, and they're a color-coded Sentai team, defeated all the bosses of the, I'm thinking alien invaders, since they had like a floating fortress or something like that. Anyway, the big bads have been wiped out, but there's like a small contingent of their putties left.
Yeah.
And they are forced to design a new monster every week and go down to these big arena shows and basically lose. You know, they do seem like they're trying. Like some of them are kind of holding up with maybe we can design the right monster. But
they're putties. They can't, you know.
Yeah, they're putties. So, but we have one guy who's Fighter D, and they all have a letter on their shoulder that designate which one's which, because otherwise they look exactly the same. And it seems like he's decided that he's going to infiltrate the Sentai group, not by like directly becoming a Sentai fighter, but they have like almost like a pyramid scheme type of thing set up where it's like the Sentai guys and then, you know, the recruiters who kind of hang around in the background and help run the shows. And
they're an industry at this.
Yeah. Point. Yeah. They're like PAs. It's like they have PAs. Right. So he's deciding to become a PA and get in that way. And it's also hinted that the dragon keepers are horrible people, maybe. Like,
yeah.
So, you know. Yeah,
it's really not only is it funny, but it actually looks great, which is one of the usually, with rare exceptions, and usually not with like a parody or like a comedy.
Yeah.
But usually with the comedy Sentai spoofs, the emphasis is on the jokes, and you know the art is usually like whatever, it's fine.
Yeah.
But this like, actually, like
after World Domination, the art was kind of
It does. It gets the job done, but it's not gonna blow any minds. Mm-hmm. But the show looks awesome. And so even, you know, when it's not doing the goofy gag stuff, the fight scenes are great. The action is great. When it gets like serious-ish, when D like decides that he's going to be, you know, a better bad guy.
Yeah.
You actually kind of feel it. So I'm
really. Yeah, they do some interesting stuff with the camera too throughout the episode. It's not, you know, quite as flat. There was a little bit of some of the, I don't know if you would call them the texture effects or that were. They weren't egregious, but they were.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, they were definitely there.
Yeah, they weren't quite there, but overall, it was a really good show. I also liked during the ending sequence they showed like the storyboards to the like the drawing outline. Like they did a couple of different things to show you how they made the action in the show come out, which was I think pretty neat.
More of that, please.
Yeah, and I wanted to know, what did you think of the lion that transformed into a truck?
So great. So,
like, usually I thought it would just get really big, because that's sort of a, you know, that's a pretty staple thing. It's like, oh, well, now I'm going to become the giant version of me. But he just turned into a truck. So
you work with what you've got.
I also like that his eyes were googly the whole time, because I've definitely seen tokusatsu monsters that have offset pupils or something the whole time. Anyway, it's a fun show.
Yeah. Made with love.
Yeah. The other one on Hulu that I watched was Yozakura Family, Mission Yozakura Family.
I was very pleasantly surprised by this one.
Yeah, it's inoffensive. It looks pretty good. Actually, probably better than good for a lot of the time. I think it's kind of sold on its ensemble cast, right?
Yeah.
But it definitely felt like a Nisekoi sort of thing. Like, I haven't seen Weird Circumstances means that we have to be married now in a while.
I was going to say, I think the reference I dropped in my preview was, it kind of brought me back to when I was covering Twin Star Exorcists.
Yeah,
it's not a comedy in the way that this show is definitely like an action comedy, but I don't know. I wasn't expecting literally a Spy Family ripoff.
Yeah,
but I wasn't necessarily anticipating to like the characters as much as I did.
Yeah,
and I thought they were all like really charming and funny, and I think they have like a cool dynamic, and I think it's hilarious how the reason they need to get married is because if they don't, her brother's going to murder him.
Yeah. The brother was a little, you can only see the back of his head here. He was intense. But I mean, I thought he was pretty funny in general. I like that they got a chance to show off each family member's little spy quirk. You know, you've got the girl with the drones and like the tech, and then I think Drill Hair Girl is just really strong.
She's just like the boss. She's good at, I think competence is her power.
Yeah, right. And then I wanted to have a picture of the Buckethead guy, who felt very much like Alphonse, but not Alphonse.
That's we've got Alphonse at home.
He's very much, yes, we got Alphonse at home. It's just a giant guy with a bucket on his head, and they've drawn a face on it. So
he even sounds like Alphonse. Like he has the same like little kid, like
little kid voice on the inside. And then there's, you know, the one who's really good at disguises, I think. And there's a guy who lives in a garbage can. So I mean, those quirky things, if you think that's funny, just like on the outset, then I think, you know, there are definitely worse ways to spend your time. I don't know if it'll like be able to keep reinventing itself enough to be funny continually, but at least, I mean, it looks good enough so far. So
yeah, this epic. If I watched the show when I was like 14,
yes,
I would have been obsessed with it.
Yes, yes, it very much in line with that kind of humor. So it could also just be as recently turned 37, not, you know, necessarily for me, but like if my kid watched it, it'd be like, okay, yeah, that's, you know, yeah. So that was fun, but it didn't give like a lot to I don't know if it'll didn't give a lot to dig into really either.
That's like if you that's the kind of show where I guess the analogy I'd use is like whenever my wife and I, if we end up watching something really heavy,
yeah,
like we don't want to go to bed like after that. We need to put on something just kind of light.
Yeah.
And that would be like perfect, like turn off your brain, laugh a little bit, don't think too hard.
Yeah. This other one, kind of similar vibes as far as like the action stuff, not super deep, but I really liked it, was Windbreaker.
Yeah, Windbreaker was good.
I like this guy. He's my new favorite guy for the season,
so
I think.
This is one of those ones where like as someone in my 30s, it's almost to the point where like I'm more embarrassed for him than I am like where I'm just like, oh, like he's supposed to be so cool and he's such a nerd.
Yeah.
I think for this show, the animation's great. The action is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the main girl, the works at the cafe. Like she's fun. I think I just wanted it to be weirder. For me, like a delinquent anime needs to be like a little more like wild and over the top. I feel like I'm more of a Warriors guy. Like if you're gonna go delinquents, I want like punk rock, like zombie, alien, like weirdos.
They have basically taken the entire concept of like a bunch of delinquents, but oh, they're actually the good guys because they protect the neighborhood, and due to some convoluted like history sort of stuff, they're not really bad. Actually, they're good, and they just look like that sort of thing. So they're probably not gonna get up to the kinds of like delinquent shenanigans that some real like ruffian types would. But there's gonna be a guy with an eye patch, so.
Yeah. That's true.
Right.
There's that one guy, he has like shark teeth.
Yeah. You need a shark tooth. In any one of these, but yeah, this is a case of this guy's like, yeah, I'm a badass because no one's ever accepted me because I look like an anime protagonist. I think Rebecca in her review suggested that he might have like a form of chimerism, which is really rare in humans, but it would be one of the few things to kind of explain what's going on with his alternate eye/hair color. Yeah. I don't know if the creator really thought it to that extent or not, but
he literally has anime protagonist syndrome. That is his curse.
Yeah. So everyone's like treated him like a weirdo. So he's decided he's going to reject society and become, you know, king delinquent and go to the toughest school ever and work his way to the top. But he's like super earnest and nice and gives like the old man his bag when he forgets it, and you know, is easily taken aback by any acts of kindness and blushes and stuff all the time. You're like,
yeah,
it's just adorable. A good boy, right? Yeah.
He's a good boy.
Yeah. Nicholas Dupree suggested that as a baby, his parents dipped the corner of his face in bleach. Was this like some sort of bad Achilles reference here where she dipped him in the.
Yeah, but just not enough.
Nick, this is why we never let you actually onto the show. You know that, right? Because I can't control the jokes from him. And I think that one's going to be kind of fun. Now, this one I didn't watch, James. It aired today. And I am continually just aghast.
I didn't even dislike the show that much. I thought it was fine, but it's literally if Alfred E. Newman was an anime. It's just the guy from Mad Magazine, but with a blonde wig.
Oh, no. I can't see it. Can someone please make that edit for us, please? If you have too much time on your hands, you're welcome to take this image and then overlay the Mad Magazine boy's face on this instead. There's no real difference.
No, it's the same. He's the same person.
Do they consistently look like this? Like, I saw some people talking about there being a lot of episode directors on this, and I'm wondering if, like...
It's like, from, like, shot to shot, there'll be different models. Like, it's very... And it's one of the things where, like, because it's a baseball drama, it was one of those things where I noticed it, but it didn't bother me very much because I was like, whatever, I'm more just paying attention to the writing. But it's weird. It's not a show that you go to if you are looking for the most consistent and best looking anime of the season. Because sometimes your guy's gonna look like Alfred E. Newman.
And like this is the MAPPA show for this season, and so people are kind of using this as a way to speculate about how things are going on internally there. I mean, we've talked about, you know, the fallout sort of stuff from Jujutsu Kaisen last season and how things started to kind of look pretty questionable. And there's been a continual like exodus of directors and whatnot from that studio to either found their own studios or to go work somewhere else. So I'm
by the way, for anyone that's listening to just the audio, this is Oblivion Battery.
Yeah.
A baseball boy anime. Way too metal of a title for the subject matter.
Yeah. By the way.
Oblivion Battery, that's like the sickest name, and you're gonna waste it on this guy.
Nick, who reviewed Buchigiri for his last season, which I also heard, not the animation or anything, that was more, had more story issues, which is kind of unfortunate because that was a Hiroko Utsumi from Free and Skate show, but I think it just didn't really deliver. And I guess, okay, Nick is saying there was a visual collapse of Bushigiri as well. So, I don't know, guys. We'll have to...
Who would have thought when MAPPA took on, like, 20 of the season's 40 anime that things would go this way, I guess.
Yeah. I guess we'll just kind of have to see if they can make a recovery from from this. We watched this trailer during the watch party, and the first thing that stood out to me was the necks. Do we have more than one neck shot in here? See, this looks normal.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. Right? And, like, his face looks normal in this one. Like, he doesn't look like Alfred E. Newman. I mean, he has big ears that I think is supposed to be... I think they all have kind of big ears, but... But even in this shot, but if you look at this one, look how wide his shoulders are, though.
Yes. Yeah, really broad.
Like three, he has like three heads worth of shoulders on each side.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what's going on with that show. I almost want to watch the first episode out of like morbid curiosity.
I don't think it would be worth it, to be honest. It's not really that interesting. Okay. And the visual failures are, again, you notice them, but because the show is so, it's just kind of like a, you know, boys talking about baseball and all that stuff.
This is wild, because now this is like the third screenshot we've shown of the same character. He does not look consistent across all three of those in the least. Yeah, like here he almost looks a little like Clannad. Like there's that character in Clannad. I think it was Clannad. Yeah. It's the main character's best friend. General similarities between their looking, but like he looks a kind of baby faced here, like very round and soft compared to the one we did before this, where I would say he kind of looks more standard high school guy, and then the one before that where he isn't an abomination. So yeah, it's just kind of nuts.
Yeah,
the degree of differences. Some of them it's definitely for dramatic effect with the shadows or whatever, but yeah, these are just
it looks like a giraffe in that one. It looks like a jungle creature.
Like a jungle creature, yeah. The next one I wanted to talk about was, this was kind of a surprise for everybody. I don't think anyone went into Tonari no Yokai-san expecting.
I literally had a heart attack from how cute this show was.
Yeah. Yeah. I did watch this one because everyone gave it, I think, at least a 4 for it. And I mean, I thought it was going to be kind of this slow, mellow show that had yokai in it. I don't remember there being anything really standout in the trailer compared to like how nice the animation is throughout this entire episode. Everything looks really nice. The backgrounds are beautiful. It has
Ghibli vibes. It's like,
yeah,
very in control, very measured, but at no point do you feel like it's like cost cutting. It just,
yeah, it looks so nice the entire time. Again, it does have like, you know, this kind of mellow vibe. There is some drama going on, and the first episode does end in with kind of some eerie, unsettling things. There's some kind of void or something. Like,
well, the one of the main girls, the main child, her dad got like spirited away to hell or something.
Something, like, yeah, something
really messed up happened, and she's like, and you know, she's an orphan almost.
Yeah.
But this is just a world where that can happen, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah. So like that's kind of happening in the background. And then in the foreground, we have Buccio, which is the name of this cat wearing the adorable hat in the picture, who's just
I think you mean Buccio, the greatest character in the history of anime? In the history of the medium of animation, maybe?
He is adorable. He's just become a Nekomata, which is what happens when your cat lives to be 20, which I've known of a handful of cats, although and my cat's on her way there. She's like 15 ish at this point, so we'll see if Izzy gets to Nekomata status. But you know, so his tail splits, and now he's supposed to get, you know, some spiritual powers as far as like transformation and stuff, but he's very shy. He's just this shy little guy with a sun hat, you know, trying to figure out how to be a yokai now. And it's super cute. And the lady in this picture is actually like a fox spirit of sorts, which I didn't expect at first. I like her a lot. I hope she sticks
around.
She's
great.
Yeah. There's
there's one of the, I forget what they're called, but like the inanimate object spirits. Is like a car for a head.
Yeah, we haven't got to see him other than I think in like
the opening. I showed this to my wife because when I finished writing the preview for this, I texted my wife because she was out at a hair appointment, and I said, "Honey, when you get back home, I'm going to show you the cutest freaking thing that you have ever seen in your life." And I said nothing more. And then I sat her down on the bed and I pressed play, and it was just her going ooh and ah. For a straight 30 minutes.
I know. I want to pet Buccio really bad. I want to give him
a little spray. And Jiro's a homie.
Yeah. This
Tengu guy?
Yeah. He's cool. I was wondering why he looks so much different from the older guy. Because the older guy is a more traditional Tengu look, right? He's like red, and then he has like the long nose and then wings. But they talk about it later in the episode and like say that Jiro's only got the half human appearance. I don't know, just because it better suits his personality, really, I guess.
I think it's because the artist wanted to draw a really handsome bird man.
That's also possibly true. Yeah. And he wears these ridiculous t-shirts all the time. Like the one he's wearing in this picture has what looks to be a traditional chimera on it. Mm-hmm. It's got a lion head, tiger body, snake tail. And it says, "This is Nue" on it. I don't really know what that means, but
I'm sure it makes sense to him.
He's got another one that's got mochi on it or something. And yeah, he's just a very chill dude. Cool, chill dude. So,
but he's like, he basically is like, "Look, I'm gonna be this little kid's father figure until we figure out what's going on." And I'm like, "Oh, you're also one of the best characters in the history of anime." Okay, he's just a good and perfect. He's like, well, because the little in the opening, and they talk a little bit about it. These spirits, the Tengu, I mean, they've been in this town for like centuries. Like, they've been here forever.
Yeah,
and so he's like literally like a guardian spirit for the village, where he's just like, if you need him, you know, if you need someone to talk to, if you need someone to help you out with your garden or whatever, like he'll help you out.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very very chill, but again, like, I feel like things might amp up a little bit regarding the main girl's dad. I also like the part, and I need, now all I want to do is like read the folklore that's tied to everything. Like, she made this little horse out of like
a cucumber, plant, like the little cucumber
plant
thing?
Material, and then it turned into this gorgeous steed to go pick up her grandpa's spirit, because he was just, I don't know, out and about, and bring him home. And so, like a taxi kind of deal. And then it transforms back into its little bit part, and she gives it a little plate of what looks like chopped up eggplant or something, and maybe rice water to eat. And I'm just like, I want one.
Yeah.
I want one. Yeah.
Make it a plushie, make $1 million.
Exactly. Exactly. Another one that I feel like is actually kind of in line with Tonari no Yokai-san is Train at the End of the World. Is that?
Yeah.
That show is weird. You're James, even after reading all your guys' reviews of it, I did not expect.
You were ready.
I wasn't ready for what it was or the reasoning behind what it was, which is
7G, man, it'll mess you up.
So it kind of reminded me how there were all those conspiracy theories about 5G, right? Like 5G is going to happen, and then the implants from the COVID vaccine are going to activate. We're all going to turn into zombies. Like, if you didn't hear about that, congratulations. The internet's stupid, okay? But that was something that was going around, and then we literally had a dude whose name was Poison Ponton, which is very much Japanese comedian stage name vibes or something, right? Abducts a girl going through a train station and claims that, you know, you're the 7,777th customer, so push the button that activates 7G. And she's just like, what is happening? Like, can I go? Why am I here? All these other sorts of things. And he rattles off some stuff that sounds kind of creepy at first, where it's basically like, this is gonna, you know, activate our human instrumentality sort of
basically stuff. I mean, essentially, yeah.
And so that's kind of what happens. She pushes the button and everything goes upside down, right side up, inverted.
It breaks reality.
It basically breaks reality. And now, like, the small rural town, all the adults are just animals now. They're talking animals, but they're,
well, you turn into an animal on your something something
21st birthday. 20 21st might birthday. Be 20th birthday, because that's the age of majority in Japan. So yeah, you turn into an animal on your 20th birthday. And I think all the adults that were already there, like, immediately turned into animals. Yeah. So there's just a lot of, like, talking animals. We spend a lot of time with a bunch of old people, like, just kind of chatting up.
A bunch of old country biddies that are also animals, which is hilarious.
Yes.
They're just, like, you know, chatting on the porch. And they're like, you know, being an animal's not so bad. You know, we don't have to pay taxes anymore. That's pretty nice.
Yes. Yeah. That's legitimately, like, something they say. But there's all these hints of, like, you know, they got animals in their town, but they talk about how another town, everyone's trees now. And
which is horrifying. That's like nightmare world.
Yeah.
I have no mouth and I must scream because I'm a tree now. It's like,
oh, I'm trying to, I guess it's because I've said previously on this podcast that when I die, I want a tree planted on top of me and then it will grow fruit. And so,
You're dead, you don't want to be a living tree though.
Well, I mean, I would
conscious and unmoving, like.
Yeah, I guess if you're conscious, would the tree have consciousness though? Like,
I'm assuming, like, the idea, or at least at first, because, like, the animals are all, you know, they can all talk and they're all.
Yeah, I was just gonna say animals are conscious, but they don't necessarily have self-awareness.
They don't have vocal cords either, but that's not stopping any of these guys. So, I'm thinking that's 7G, really.
Yeah. So anyway, my jury's out for me on whether I would be mad to be a tree or not. But
maybe it depends on what kind of tree. Maybe if you're like a Douglas fir, like, that might be kind of cool, I guess.
Like a Christmas tree?
Yeah. like real big, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
You're not gonna get like, you're not gonna get knocked over if it gets too windy or something.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I don't know. Birch trees are pretty cool though.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, so there are all these hints though that like there's been a number of delivery companies that they come by, they just sort of run routes and they come by this town once a month. And it's got bloody handprints and stuff all over it. And you're like, what city was that? What happened to those people? Like, is there a zombie city somewhere? You know, something like that. You've got this group of like kind of eccentric girls. They have their little personalities or whatever that they all play off of each other. But it seems like the main point is that the girl who got more or less abducted and pressed the 7G button was one of their classmates. And they just want to find her again because they haven't seen her since this happened. And she's supposed to be in Ikebukuro. Mm. So that's generally the... What did you think of the old man?
The old man who turned into a not old man when...
when she put the...
took off his hat
sometimes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that was funny. I liked the kind of weird absurdism of that.
Yeah.
And I liked how he was like... All right, I got the train moving, but I'm not going to go with you because... And then he just like...
Yeah.
...screws off. I'm like, that's funny.
Yeah.
I think the only... I love this premiere. I thought it was great. I think the only thing that I was a little iffy on was the dialogue was very, very like fast-paced, like almost like... I don't know if it would technically fall under manzai, but it was very much just like quip after quip after quip after quip.
With the girls.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I noticed that too.
That for me, it almost hit like sensory overload at a certain point where it's like, please just someone stop talking for like 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Because I'm still trying to absorb the fact that we're in 7G hell world right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Now I'm also trying to follow your like back forth conversation about, you know, picking your career or not. Yeah. And your what happened to your friend. And, you know, I also like, they did a whole thing where they talked about that magical girl show that one of them used to watch and she got a magazine and all this other kind of stuff. And they're making jokes where it's like Alice in Wonderland. And I'm trying to figure out what's this show about that they keep talking about, but also what's this show about that I'm watching. And it was kind of a lot. And they do kind of just keep throwing things at you after that. Because I think, like, after that, they're like, oh, yeah, that's the old man who pretends to be a train all the time. And his introduction was really weird because they didn't show his head for a long time. And so I was, you know,
I thought he was just like a...
Legs!
A bottom, yeah.
I thought it was just a half a torso that was alive. We've got animal people already. So, like, why couldn't we also just have a torso man and a Shiba Inu walking around together, and then you know. So
we've seen weirder. We've seen.
We have.
But no, good show. I'm excited to see where. I think episode 2 is out, isn't it?
It is. I didn't watch it because I wanted to like get through as many of these as I could. But it, episode 2 is already out. Episode 2 is also out for one of the other ones I think we talked about. No, one we're about to talk about, which is Spice and Wolf.
Yeah,
That one's got a second episode out. Did you watch the original Spice and Wolf?
I did not. I was
neither did I. So I guess we can't give you guys that perspective.
We can't. I was a young boy that thought that business was boring.
Yeah,
and even though there was like a cute wolf lady on the front, I thought, man, I don't want to watch a slice of life show. What the hell is that?
Yeah, you're not going to trick me into learning economics just by putting a hot lady on here.
No.
I see what you're doing.
I need to rewatch the end of Evangelion for the 85th time. but I'm a wiser man now.
Yeah.
I'm a cultured man. Yeah. And I can confirm that Spice and Wolf, six hell. Very good.
So having not seen the original, the first thing that I have to say is like, I get it now, guys. Like, Paulo is hot. And the voice
so hot, guys.
And the voice acting for her specifically is really good.
That's what makes her so hot. She's like...
It is a lot of the voice delivery. And I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. This lady fucks. Like, she's... Yeah.
And she eats, you know, she probably eats animals in the middle of the forest. And she'll mess you up if she, you know, if you cross her. But she'll also protect you because she's a giant. Yeah, she's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
And can I just say, I know this is maybe the eighth or ninth time I've mentioned this, but new Kevin Penkin soundtrack. automatically means that I am on board. I guess it doesn't automatically mean I'm on board because I didn't watch Rise of the Shield Hero. But usually that means I am on board for at least a few episodes because that man could score, you know, a diabetes medication commercial and I'd probably cry. So
Yeah. The play between the soundtrack really leads into both the setting, establishing the setting, and back to like Holo and Lawrence are really fun to watch play off of each other. Now, again, I haven't watched the original. I'm not 100% cool with the art sort of look of some of this. And this isn't like exclusive to Spice and Wolf. I think I've seen this. It might just kind of be a new thing-ish or like kind of a maybe a look that we'll end up attributing to this era in the same way that we can kind of tell what era DigiPaint shows come from. I was
thinking DigiPaint shows.
Yeah, it's it doesn't look like DigiPaint, but the outline of the characters is very slight. Everyone's hair is kind of weirdly glossy in like it's more noticeable on Lawrence than I feel like it is on Holo. Like it's just sort of this, and the colors feel kind of muddled to me a lot of the time. And I've been reading your guys's reviews on various other shows with similar complaints where things are kind of brown and kind of muddled looking.
Everything ends up looking very flat.
Yes.
And I don't know if they're like trying to make it look more 2D, like to make it look like a light novel cover come to life.
Yeah.
Rather than, but it just means that like whenever there's a show that has like actual real depth of color, like more shades than just four.
Yeah.
Or when the outlines are stark enough to where you can actually get some depth in the drawing and some, you know, a sense of, you know, like the shape of the face and all that.
Yeah.
It makes it stand out a lot because you're just not seeing it as much anymore. And I don't know why that is.
Yeah. Another like, I could tell that they were trying to make a particular scene look really lush. He's like driving the wagon through a forest during sunset, but it also didn't quite work because I was like, I can tell that all the sunset colors on this were like slapped on top of the wagon scene. This is a filter, but it's not integrated in a way that really feels, again, it's the coloring. And so that part, it's not, again, not so bad that it's like off-putting, like this is ugly and I don't want to watch it, but it is, it distracts me. No.
I agree. It just feels a little, I mean, you can even see like if you watch the old Kino's Journey and then the revival season that they did, I think maybe like 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
It wasn't as stark of a difference, but I think you can absolutely see the shift that's happening. Based on looking at those two shows. And I don't know how much of it is, I guess I can't speak with certainty. I don't think Kino's Journey was before the switch to almost entirely digital animation. But I think it's almost like how with live action shows in the West, we're dealing with a lot of lighting issues.
Yeah.
Because of just the techniques that the cinematographers are learning now. Mm-hmm. You know, everything is shot very flat, very broad. The colors are often a lot more muted because everything is just using the natural lighting of the space and they're not like taking advantage of any of the more theatrical techniques.
Yeah.
And I was watching that people watching that new Shogun show.
Yes.
They were complaining about basically depth of field, like the use of multiple distances of focus.
Yeah.
They're like, why does some of the shot look out of focus? Like, why is it so messed up? And people had to basically explain, no, that's how it's supposed to look. That's a thing that directors do. And I think that for a lot of modern shows, it's, I don't know how much of it is a result of like time and efficiency and kind of maybe taking some shortcuts to make the production work and how much of it is just kind of the taste, like you said, of our current era of anime.
Yeah.
But yeah, the thin outlines, the kind of washed out colors, the sort of the, I don't want to say bad compositing.
Yeah.
The not so great compositing between the background and the foreground and the, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if it's like, I think it might be like you said, kind of an introduction of newer technology that hasn't quite been like mastered yet, but everyone's playing with it. Mm-hmm.
you kind of see where that turns out. But that's the one that I found most distracting about Spice and Wolf. Again, it's not going to keep me from watching it, but just something like I kind of felt the need to point out while I was watching it. We have ran out of time, but I can make room for one more show, James, if there's something that you felt like we didn't get to that you really wanted to talk about.
Well, unfortunately, we're not going to, I don't think we're going to have time for my my 45 minute breakdown of the
Omega. Oh, yeah. You wanted to ask questions about Omegaverse.
Because I am, I was vaguely aware of what the Omegaverse was, but I've learned a lot in the past 48 hours. I don't even know if I would know where to begin. Other than I don't understand why they're not werewolves. I thought that was the whole point. I genuinely am like, wait a minute. So you're saying they go into heat like ravenous monsters. Mm-hmm. They have whoozy what's-its on their dinglings, apparently. If I say it, I'm going to get us demonetized.
What?
They do the thing that animals do when they're
making,
in heat and making business, where, you know, the male animal gets all stuck.
Oh, they've got twisty dicks.
Something thereabouts. Yes, that's what I've been told. So they've got the heat. They've got the twisty dicks. They've got a societal regulated implementation of.
Wait, I'm sorry. Up until point, whenever people use the word "not," I actually thought they were just using like a colloquialism for the butthole and what it looks like.
No.
Wow, we're learning things in real time.
No, have you ever seen it? Have you ever seen two cats like alley cats?
I've heard them.
Well, one of the reasons that the lady cat is making such unpleasant noises, is because the boy cat is he's packing let's call it a dangerous weapon.
I do know this. I do. Yes. It's like barbed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I also it's like that, but without
ducks is screwy looking too.
Yeah.
If anyone wants. Now,
to be clear, the Omegaverse boys don't have barbs, as far as I know, but they do, you know, they get all stuck in there to make sure that the insemination takes place and that the genes are passed along.
Okay, but the insemination does still happen through the butthole.
Okay, so right? I was asking Rebecca this because I was really stuck on that. Okay. Because for me, right, here's the thing. I get it. It's a kink. It's a fantasy. Whatever.
Sure, whatever.
But
this is for science.
Yeah, the butthole. For those of you guys that don't know, maybe you haven't been around one in a while. It serves a very specific function, right? And that is to stay closed all the time, unless you are asking it very nicely to open. In fact, when it doesn't stay closed, right, that is considered a medical problem.
Okay.
That you need to get addressed by a doctor, right?
Yeah.
Conversely, and I am speaking, of course, as a cisgendered male, so this is, I am not an expert on this by any means, but my understanding of the vagina is that it is meant to open up
under good circumstances.
Yes. Yes. But it's designed that way, right?
Yeah,
it's supposed to open up.
Mm.
And it's also supposed to, to allow the transmission of various fluids and all that good stuff. That's not what the butthole's for. The butthole's for the opposite of that.
Yeah.
And also there is a reason that people with vaginas, when they urinate, it comes out of a different place.
Yeah.
Because
you'd be surprised how many people don't know that.
Which is a problem in and of itself. Okay. But just, you can imagine that, like, for the young, what's the word I'm looking for? Spermatozoa. For the spermatozoa, they're not going to have a great time if their passageway to new life is, you know, filled with all of the wonderful germs and bacteria and stuff that comes with our waste fluid. Mm-hmm. Imagine if they're trying to, you all understand what I'm getting at. So sure. unless we're working with like a fork in the road situation.
Oh yeah.
Which maybe. And my understanding, I guess, Rebecca told me that there was one light novel recently that was an Omegaverse thing that basically explained that all men have C-sections. So
okay.
people yeah, don't yeah. have to think, you know, which, okay, that makes sense, I guess. Okay.
Arnold had to do it too.
But look, I've listened to a lot of true crime podcasts, all right? Yeah, and I've listened to a lot of history podcasts.
Uh-huh.
And that means that a lot of the podcast advertisement algorithms think that I am an adult woman.
Sure.
And so I get a lot of I have heard many, many little infomercials about the upkeep of the feminine microbiome.
Uh-huh. Right?
And all the, you know, keep making it happy.
The flora, yeah, sure.
The flora, right?
Yeah.
I don't think the microbiome in the back door is the right place for a baby to be hanging out at all.
So, okay. So this started with a question. I have not gotten an answer, which the answer is, I mean, so we still just kind of don't know how the butthole leads to the pregnancy, right? That's just kind of, maybe you're just supposed to magic that.
Maybe.
It just does. It just works, right? Like, we're not really supposed to question it. Right.
The biting is involved too. Maybe it's like
that's to mark your mate, if I understand correctly. Right. I don't think it's necessary. For everyone who's not following along, what we're talking about is Todaima Okairi, which is an anime that's airing right now. It's about
that probably wasn't good to start with.
Yeah, it's about a gay couple that have a baby, right? Two men, they have a baby, they're married. Mm-hmm. If you've seen the trailer, you probably thought that this was just, you know, like a BL story or about their relationship and raising their child. The added caveat is that it's an Omegaverse story, which means that one of the men actually conceived the baby and carried it in the womb. And then wherever that is in this particular scenario and birthed it or got a C-section or something. So the baby is biologically both men's child.
I can see the appeal of that, like the fantasy of it and all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The baby's pretty cute.
Yes. So
that's nice. I just, again, maybe this is just me, but I don't understand if you're going to have the biting and the monster penises and the pheromone induced love madness.
Uh-huh.
Why are they just
Is it called rutting?
Probably. That sounds like a thing. Sure. Okay. Let's go with that. Uh-huh. Why are they just like, and here is my problem with the show.
Uh-huh.
When you take out the fact, like the monster element, werewolves or whatever, they don't have to.
Why are you stuck on werewolves? Is it because of the dog theming Omega stuff?
When I first heard of this thing, I heard about it because my wife is a librarian, and so she sees like a lot of self-published books, right?
Sure,
come through the library and all that stuff, and you know the werewolf independently published fiction scene. Mm-hmm. Is where like a lot of this stuff, to my understanding, kind of originated, right? Because of the you know, I'm the alpha wolf and I'm going to dominate you and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, sure, whatever. I get it. Monsters, right? Mm-hmm. Monsters of all types, people like that. And I didn't really think about it much. And I've heard Omegaverse here and there. And I knew that there were like now Omegaverse stories where it wasn't literally like horror themed or monster themed. But I think in the back of my mind, I just assumed, well, if they're going to have the old-fashioned, like, alpha, omega, wolf hierarchy system, then it must still be some kind of monster thing. And so the whole time I'm watching the show, I'm like, okay, a couple of a boring married couple and their boring cute baby.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, omega. One of them's going to turn into a monster. That's cool. That's interesting.
He was just like, where's the full moon?
Yeah, I was like, is this baby going to like rip someone's throat out? Or I didn't think that was going to happen, but I was like, that's an interesting wrinkle. But no, it's just a boring couple and their boring, cute baby that they conceived of in an incredibly strange and, to me, confusing way.
Okay.
But then there's none of the other fun stuff that comes with all the monster stuff, like the danger, the spooky vibes. Mm-hmm. The, you know, the metaphor for untapped aggression. I don't know.
Yeah. So, I mean,
I like a little more spice in my spaghetti. That's what I'm saying.
Spaghetti. So it seems like the Omegaverse element of this is more like a just sort of window dressing to explain the existence of their baby without having to have adopted or used a surrogate or something like that.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it's just a, you know, it's just a BL show about a stay-at-home dad and his husband and their baby.
Yep.
And we're just not really supposed to ask all the questions that we were asking earlier.
Then why do you make it an Omegaverse thing? Why go, not to, pardon the pun, why half-ass it, you know? Like, to me, if you're going to get weird and, like, freaky-deaky with your sex stuff, by all means, go for it. But, like, get weird and freaky-deaky, you know? It'd be like if what's it, what was the BDSM? If it would be like if gushing over magical girls was legitimately just Precure.
Yeah.
99% of the time. But then, like, once every episode, the main character's like, you know what? I really love it when these girls step on my crotch. Anyway. And then we just go back to it. And I'm like, why are we here?
What are we doing here? I'm going, before we close out, because Nicholas Dupree brought up they should have had the boys lay eggs like the JoJo's Dojin, I just want to add on to that Dojin itself was written by Clamp.
God bless them. They've been ahead of the game for decades.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're trendsetters. Truly.
Truly. I think it was specifically Kakyoin's egg, if I remember right. But you know,
that makes more sense to me because then
if they laid eggs,
because then it's like, do they have a cloaca? Actually, makes less sense to me. Never mind. I thought about it too much.
Stop.
I thought about it too much.
Guys, you know, however you like your anime, that's okay with us here. We're just
no judgment here.
No, we're interested in the world building. Mm-hmm. That's all. We're just curious about the world building. And it sounds like it just has evolved to the point where, you know, while it started out as wolfy boys, it's now just, you know,
it's just regular
pheromones
boys
all the way down, and you don't have to be a wolf anymore. And presumably, you know, all the equipment is human standard equipment and not necessarily screw shaped or barbed or.
I mean, here's the thing. It cannot be human standard equipment. That's the thing that bothers me. It basically can't be.
Right. Except for the part about, you know, like conceiving the child. We don't understand that part specifically. Like, how did it happen in the Arnold Schwarzenegger, Danny DeVito movie?
I've never seen that one, actually.
You haven't seen the one where Arnold carries a child to term?
No, I've seen the VHS box art many a time.
Yeah. I haven't watched it since I was like maybe 10 or 11 or something. So I don't remember what their scientific explanation is for how he was able to do that and I'm gonna go look it up after this, and then maybe we'll have more answers for you all. But thanks everyone for sticking around. I think we maxed out viewers here for the end. A lot of people got really confused and didn't know what we were talking about. But that's
If you came into the show exactly when I started talking about weird butt stuff, let us know in the comments how you think that baby came out.
Yeah, just do it. I don't care. Just do it. All right. We'll see you guys next week. We'll probably have another version of this for like Kaiju number 8, which is going to be premiering this week. And Black Butler public school arc. There's a whole bunch of stuff coming in at the end here. So that felt like that was a pun about what we were talking about. Anyway, talk to you guys later. Bye.
Bye.